Well, today is a great day. Today is a day that you can do something extraordinary, something wonderful. Today, you can receive a precious gift, a life-saving gift, a transforming gift, and a gift that you can share with others. Today, in fact, today, you can do three things that will make this day really great. First of all, today you can receive the bread of life. I'd like you to take out the little painting that's in your bulletin this morning. Just take that out and look at it. Mary Kay and I were going through the National Gallery of Art in Washington, and I like to go along and just browse in the paintings, but this one stopped and gave it special attention. Now, actually, what was happening is there was a curator from the museum there with a small tourist group explaining what this painting was all about. So I kind of quietly slipped in the back of the group and pretended I was one of them, and I listened in. So what I'm going to say is not something crazy I've dreamed up about this. I'm going to tell you what the curator of the museum said. This painting is called Banquet Piece with Mince Pie, and it was painted by a Dutch painter who lived in the 1600s. His name was Willem Heda, H-E-D-A, Willem Heda. Well, the scene is obviously a banquet scene, but it's after the banquet is over. It's all finished. It must have been quite a banquet. Notice, everything's kind of helter-skelter. The tablecloth is all rumpled, and both sides, it's just kind of laying there in a heap. Notice there's a silver serving dish. It's on its side. One of the guests must have knocked it over during the course of the banquet, and it's still there on its side. You can't see this in this little representation, but in the big picture in the Gallery of Art, you'll notice there's a wine glass that's been broken, and the fragments of glass are laying there on the table. Quite a banquet that went on. And it was a very luxurious banquet. Notice on the left-hand side, there's some lemon and a plate of olives. It's a little hard to see, but you see the plate of olives there. Now, in Holland, in the 1600s, lemon and olives would have been a real delicacy and very expensive. Only the wealthiest people could afford to buy those things. Look on the right side of the painting. There you'll see a plate of oysters. Oysters in the 1600s were not just a succulent dish. They were considered to be an aphrodisiac. Yeah. Well, I've heard some Chesapeake watermen say, you know, eat fish, live longer, eat oysters, love longer. Now, I don't know if that's true, but anyway. And, of course, there's the mince pie. Delicious, rich, wonderful dessert. So this painting represents materialism, sensuality, the pleasures of this world. But now look again at the painting. There's also a dark side. Look on the far left. You'll see a candle. It's burned down. It's just a tiny little stub. It's been extinguished. Somebody blew it out. That represents how very quickly passing are our earthly lives. Or look at that pewter pitcher. Look where the light is shining. If you look closely, you can see a dent in it. Can you see that dent? Somebody must have dropped it. Even a metal pitcher is fragile and can be broken and dented, just like all of life is fragile and can be broken. Now what I'd like you to do, take your painting, turn it 90 degrees to the right. 90 degrees to the right. And now that pewter pitcher will be up in the right-hand corner if you turned it the right way. Look very closely where the light is reflecting. Do you see a human skull? Can you see that? There's a human skull looking out at you in that lower section of the light reflecting. Again, the symbol of death and of decay. Turn it back right side up again. What the painter is saying is that in the midst of luxury, of materialism, of sensuality, there is death and decay for all things. But now look closely at the very middle of the picture, and you will see a plate of bread. Notice it really hasn't been eaten. All the other stuff's been eaten, but the bread is just kind of sitting there. But that bread represents the bread of life. It represents the God factor. It represents spirituality, religion, and faith, the bread of life. And notice what Willem Heede did. Notice how that plate is kind of sticking out over the edge of the table. And right in the middle, it's almost as if the painter is saying, have some bread. Have some bread. In this world, with all its pleasures, all its sensuality and materialism, in this world where there's pain and death and suffering, have some bread. Today you can receive the bread of life. And secondly, today you can welcome openly. That's part of the church's mission statement that we're studying, that wonderful mission statement prepared by our council, to welcome openly. Now, that's a lot more than simply smiling at a visitor who happens to wander through our doors today. It is that. You want to be nice to them. But welcoming openly is opening your life to the stranger. Listening, hearing, caring, loving, being gracious, accepting, letting that person feel comfortable in your presence, letting that person feel at home. I'll bet there are people in this world that when you're around them, you kind of feel uncomfortable. There's just something there that makes you uneasy. The open welcome is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of all fear, of all estrangement, of all separation, of all difference and distance. It's letting someone feel truly at home. Open yourself that way to the stranger. Maybe to someone who's of a different skin color, or someone who isn't of your social class, or maybe someone who doesn't dress the way you do, or maybe, God forbid, somebody who doesn't vote the way you do. Because I know right now that's the big divide, isn't it? You don't want to be around those people who vote the wrong way. Welcome them. Welcome them openly. Listen again to that wonderful lesson from Hebrews that Christina read a few moments ago. Let mutual love continue. Let love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unawares. Wow, you welcome a stranger, you might be entertaining an angel. Well, it happened. Remember the story in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham and of Sarah? There they are, they're out in the middle of the desert, they're in their tent, nobody's around, and along come three strangers. Remember that story? Three strangers. Abraham's never seen them before, but wow, does he welcome them. He invites them into the tent, he kills the very best calf in the herd. He has Sarah bake the very best cake she can possibly make, and he throws an incredible dinner for these three total strangers. And it turns out they're angels. They're messengers of God. That's what angels are, you know. You know, in the Greek New Testament, angelos, angels, literally means messengers. The important thing about angels is not that they play a harp and fly around the sky. That's the artwork of the Middle Ages, and that's okay. But in the Bible, angels are messengers. So these three guys have a message for Abraham and Sarah. And the message is, you're going to have a child. You see, at the time, Abraham is 99 years old. His wife, Sarah, is an old lady. Old Lady Sarah. Let me tell you what the Bible says about Old Lady Sarah. Get a load of this. It ceased to be with her after the manner of women. Well, that means she was way too old to be having a baby. And Abraham at 99, he is way too old to be a father. And friends, they haven't invented Viagra yet. So there is no way this can happen. Yet here come these three strangers, and they announce that. And you know what Sarah did? She laughed. She laughed. That's crazy. Well, it's not smart to laugh at the promises of God. With God, all things are possible. Abraham didn't laugh. Abraham welcomed them. Throw a banquet. Gracious, open hospitality, and in so doing, entertained angels. And you can do that too. You can welcome a stranger, and who knows, that person might turn out to be an angel in your life. And then thirdly, there's a third thing you can do to make this a great day. You can encourage warmly. Now, I get very frustrated when I go to a funeral service and I hear somebody read some wishy-washy little poem instead of proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the resurrection of the dead and that those who believe in him, even though they die, yet they shall live, and whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. That's what I want to hear proclaimed. And I'll bet you know somebody who is grieving. I'll bet you know somebody who is grieving. Oh, we've had 5 deaths in our church in the last 10 days. Speak a word of encouragement. Speak the word of hope. Give them something to go on. Proclaim resurrection. Proclaim the good news. Give them courage. Encourage them to go on. I get very frustrated when I see a teenager who they've given up on any kind of purpose in life. They don't have any motivation. It seems that all they want to do is play stupid little games on their device. I'm not opposed to that, but they become addicted to it, and that's all they do. I bet you know somebody like that. I know some people like that. But you can speak a word of encouragement. That today, what opportunities you have, your life before you, wonderful opportunities, take advantage of them. Speak a word of encouragement. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Speak that word of encouragement. I get very frustrated when I see an old person sitting around waiting to die. They've given up on life. That's all they're doing. They're just waiting. In fact, they want to die. I've been visiting someone like that recently. A good man, but he'd given up on life. All he wanted to do was to just die. We need to encourage, to say, give thanks to God for each day you have, for the light coming in the window that you can see, for whatever blessings God has given you. And don't ever forget, there's a brighter day ahead. It may not be in this world, but there's a brighter day ahead, and give thanks for that. Encourage, encourage. You have a peace that passes understanding. You have a peace that the world cannot give, and the world cannot take away. Encourage. And think what it means to encourage. It comes from the old French, encourage, to input courage into somebody, to give them courage, to give them that strength to go on, that will, that desire, that heart, that purpose. Think of the opposite of encourage, discourage. That is a terrible thing to do to somebody, to discourage, to strip away their courage, to strip away their ability to stand firm in the face of difficulty, to strip away their hope, their heart, their purpose. But encourage. Look for an opportunity today to do that, to encourage. It might be the most important thing you do today. It might be the most important thing you do all week. It might be the most important thing you do in your whole life is simply encourage. Speak that word of encouragement. Today is a great day. Today you can do all three. Today you can encourage warmly. Today you can welcome openly. And whatever else you do, by all means, have some bread. So be it.